That was so nice. We have the best pastors, guys. Like, seriously, like, I went to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry for like 10 months, and I miss South Dakota so much. I loved California. It has all the things, but it's not South Dakota. Like, I just missed everything about South Dakota so much. So I have like a really sweet message for you guys today. I actually found out I was preaching yesterday morning, so just give me a little bit of grace. And then I worked yesterday, and I'm working today. So this is how it is. Seven kids, you know, it's like one of those things. But it's an honor to preach, and like we both felt when me and Autumn prayed when Jeff was sick, and we both felt like the Holy Spirit brought up this specific message. I preached it in youth group probably 3 weeks ago. So youth in this room, you're going to hear a little bit of a repeat, but it's still really good. It's still really powerful for your life. And I'm excited. I'm excited for you guys to hear it. I am the youth leader here at James River Church as well. So I've been hanging out with your teenagers and your preteens. We have a great time on Wednesday nights. So if you have any youth in your life that are from like 11 to like 19, have them come on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Our kids are the best kids on the planet. Like our youth group is dynamic. It's not even because I lead it. Like these kids are amazing. We were praying and we were prophesying over Kaiden because he's a senior this year. And like, there's probably like 12 kids in the room that gave prophetic words. And like, they hear from Jesus. They go for the stuff. They pray for each other. They're the real deal. Like, our youth are the best youth. Like, I haven't seen such on fire youth before. They're amazing. So super excited what God's doing there. So guys, I'm sorry you heard this. You're going to hear it again, but it's really good. So go ahead. I changed it just a little bit. We're going to speak about some truths today. Oh, okay. Thanks. We're going to talk about some truths today. So the title of this message is Life is Short and Eternity is Long. And so like what Autumn was alluding to is when I first got saved, I heard that question. Pastor Jeff asked me that question when I was 15 years old. Winter, where are you going to go when you die? And to heaven or to hell? And in my heart, I knew what that meant. I was in that moment destined for eternity in hell. That was my reality. That was who I was. That was my, like, honestly, like, I had so much sin in my life. I was in so much darkness. Like, Autumn was talking about my really bad day. My bad day was really, like, nasty. I had some nasty friends. One of my friends, like, pulled me by my hair across the room. Like, we're 15. Kids just do stupid things. But this was stupid. It was really bad, toxic relationships that I had in my life. And the Lord stepped in. He stepped into that moment, and he proposed to me eternity. He gave me an opportunity for eternity with him, a life in heaven with him forever. And it was the best day of my entire life. The best thing that has ever happened to me was in that moment when I decided I want to go to heaven. I want to be with Jesus forever. When I realized that I had so much sin in my life. Like, I grew up, and I went to, like, a liturgical church, and like I learned about Jesus, I learned about God, but I didn't know that I was going to hell. I knew Jesus existed, right? We all know Jesus exists. There's so many facts. Everything in life points to Jesus. It's so obvious, but I was not living for him. I was living for my own selfish self and the things that I wanted to do. And it was darkness. It was heavy. It was gross. There was bad fruit in my life. I was full of anxiety, full of depression. And God came to me, somebody who deserved hell, and said, do you want eternity with me? Do you want heaven? That is how good God is. That is how good he is. He's so faithful to us. He's so kind. Like, I just think about him, and like one of my favorite things about God is how faithful he is to us, to always love us, always be there. Like, when I cry out to God and talk to God, I'm never wondering, like, is he there? Like, of course he's there. Like, I'm the one that's probably not present, right? It's probably me. If there's something wrong, it's not God, it's me. Like, he is so good. He is so kind. Whenever I come to him with my issues, he's like the most generous and faithful father to give me exactly what I need in every moment and every time. He's just that good. He is so good. So we're going to talk about eternity today. I'm so excited for you guys. This is going to be really good. I want to preface this message. I want to read the scripture about not worrying. And Pastor Autumn preached a message about worrying probably a couple weeks ago, and it was so powerful. And I don't want to give you a heavy message today and just everybody live in anxiety, you know? We got to live in the not worry mindset. Like, the Bible actually commands us to not worry. It actually is a sin to worry. That's what the Bible says. So I'm just going to read some of the scripture for you. It's in Matthew chapter 6. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. So who are the pagans? The unbelievers. The unbelievers. They run after things. They think all day on, what should I eat? What should I drink? What should I do? What should I do this, that, that, another? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Amen? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So if we seek God's kingdom, the things that we worry about, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, will be given to us anyways. So just seek after the kingdom of God, and you're going to be just fine, is what God's saying. This is his promise to you. If my dad told me he was going to give me, like, $1,000, my dad's going to give me $1,000, like, because he's a good dad, and, like, he's just like that, you know? If my dad says you can have whatever you want in the fridge, which I don't even have to say, he doesn't even need to say that, because I just know my dad, and I can just go to his fridge and eat all his food. It's the same with Father God. If he says it, we have that right. We have that right with him because we are his children, right? Amen? Because he's a good dad. He's a good father. We sing that song, you're a good, good father. It's true. He really is a good father. He's just quite incredible. He's so faithful to provide for us in every single way of our life. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. I feel like these scriptures, like, completely speak for themselves. They're very plain. I love it when the scripture's super plain. It's just like, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own trouble. That's, like, wisdom right there for you guys. I feel like, too, that, like, even in this moment, like, we could be thinking about what we're going to be doing after church, right? Like, I could already be down the road, like, oh, after church, I got to go to work. After that, I'm going to get these kids ready for bed, make sure they go to bed nicely so they don't get stressed out for tomorrow because the week's going to start, and then I'm thinking about this. What am I going to do tomorrow on my day off? And then you just start thinking, like, am I going to be productive or am I going to be lazy? Am I pretty tired? And, you know, then you just go on and on and on, and your brain just goes, but what about this moment? Like, what's going on right now in this room? Like, this is, like, amazing. We're together in unity. We all have generally the same thoughts and the same way of thinking. It's very rare when we find believers all together at the same time, like, excited about Jesus. It's pretty exciting. It should be bliss. This moment is so amazing. I feel like the scriptures really just speaks to us, like, we got to live in the now. We got to live in the present. What is God speaking to you right now? In this room, or do you even enjoy life? Do you even enjoy it? Like, right now, God is doing something. Are you aware of it? Because this is so beautiful. What's happening right now when we're together, it's so beautiful. And I think parents, I think we have a hard time with this because we do have to be organized. We have to think through things. Maybe this is the season of life I'm in, but I always have to remind myself, like, I got to enjoy my kids right now. They always say, like, your kids, they grow up so fast. Like, my son's graduating. Like, guys, I'm like, that's crazy. It's like, they do just grow up so fast, but we just enjoy each moment. Like, each of these super special things that are going on, I want to enjoy them. And that's the same with God. God wants us to stop and enjoy each and every moment that life has for it. Because tomorrow is not promised us. Tomorrow is not promised us. And that's my first truth for you guys. Our life is not promised to us. There's a scripture in James 4, 13 through 17. It says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go do this or that in this city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? Are you a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes? Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. We are like a mist. That's what the scripture says. I think I read it a little weird. It says, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Our sweet Malachi, I don't know if he's in the room. He's probably somewhere. But he preached at youth group on Wednesday, and I was just trying to like ask questions to, you know, because he did a little Q&A, because he's so rich. Like Malachi, like if you talk to him, he's so rich in God's word. He just has tons of wisdom. We love that kid. We're going to miss him when he goes to IHOP. We just, like, he's amazing. But we just asked him, like, hey, like, youth deal with a lot of anxiety and worry. How would you deal with that? Like, what do you think about that? And it was adorable. He had the best answer ever. He said, no one will remember you in 200 years. So why are you worried about it? What other people think about you? This is pretty intense. I'm talking about you, Malachi. I'm talking about you on Wednesday. All these teenagers are kind of tired. They went to prom last night. My son got in at 3:30, so they're a little bit leggy. They're still pretty good. Worship was great, and half those kids stayed up till 3:30. Dang. I would be dead if that happened. I was like, okay, let's do it again, guys. That was awesome. But it was like, no one will remember us in 200 years. So why do we look at stress, and why do we worry, like, just about those things? We must live our lives for eternity, for tomorrow is not promised us. We are like a mist, here today, gone tomorrow. I want to talk to you about my really good friend, Michael Olson. A lot of you guys know him. He came to church here a lot. He's been at Rhema Bible College for the last couple of years here, training to be in ministry. He's quite amazing. I worked with him at Lewis Drug for, I don't know, since he was 16, so probably like 8 years or so. I love this kid so much. He was in a freak accident about a month and a half ago. You guys probably heard us praying for him. We've been always like just praying for him because it was a serious, serious situation. Like when I say it was a freak accident, like he was cutting some trees down on his campus. He works for the Bible school, Rhema Bible School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he was cutting some trees down, and one of the branches fell and hit his head just in the right spot, and he passed out and he hit his head on the ground. Michael Olson was asleep for a whole month, passed out in the hospital. Can you show these pictures? So I want to show you a picture of Michael before. How many of you guys know Michael? This is Michael. This is his not twin brother, but twin brother Matthias. They're like 5 years apart, but they're so tall. And they always brag about being tall. I'm like, it's not, you can't brag about being tall. There's nothing you did to be tall. So this is weird. I always make fun of them, but they're always, I love them so much. You guys know these guys? Who knows these? Like maybe half of us. Yeah. Love these boys. So this is Michael wearing his Yeti thing at Christmas time. And then why don't you do the next picture there? This was Michael a week after his accident. He had a severe brain injury. Several times the doctors didn't know he was going to live or make it through the day. He had 3 surgeries within the first week of being in the hospital. And he was unconscious probably for about 35 days or something like that. And then, all of a sudden, you want to show the next picture? Yay. Michael woke up. Isn't that awesome? He still has a ways to go for recovery. I mean, if you can imagine laying in a hospital bed for, you know, 45 days or something, and he has to learn how to eat again. I mean, some things, but over and over again, when Michael was looking like that last picture, I literally just had to keep saying, God, you are sovereign. Like, Michael's life is in your hands. Like, I don't have any control over it. It's all up to you, God. Like, there's nothing that we can do that I could do to save his life. This is you, God. You are sovereign. If you take Michael, heaven's going to be a great place. But if he stays with us, we're going to be joyful too because we love Michael so much. And he's supposed to get married here in July to one of my really good friends, Carolyn Waldner. It's actually Jeff's sister. And we're super excited for them so far. The wedding is planned as normal, but we'll see how it goes. But he is now in Texas. He's doing recovery. And the nurses, like, he literally just woke up probably like 2 weeks ago. Like, he was like asleep. And then people would be like, oh, he's kind of awake. And I'm like, yeah, he can move his toes and like his arm a little bit. And I'm like, that's not Michael. Michael is the guy that goes like this, like when he walks. And he's just like really energetic, and like I'm like, he needs to be awake. Like, that's not awake. Like, moving your toes isn't awake for me. It wasn't good enough. So I was just praying more. And God woke Michael up, and he was like almost like a light switch flipped. And he was there, and he was present, and he remembers everything. He's just as goofy as ever. Like, we were in the break room talking to him, and he understood that we were in the break room at Lewis Drug on the phone with him, and he said, hey, throw this to this other employee, like, throw something at her, because that's what he always did. He threw stuff at people. It's just funny. So he's himself. He's going to be okay. He has a little bit of road. So let's pray for Michael for complete healing. He needs to eat. So that's what was, he's excited about eating, because the boy can eat. When I shared salsa with him, he took like the whole chip and half the salsa and ate the whole thing. He's a good eater. So let's pray for him. And he's always this skinny. So, all right, let's push our hand out this way, okay? Yeah, Jesus, right now we pray on behalf of Michael. Right now we just can pray complete divine healing over him. God, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the little miracles all over the place that you've done to get him to this point. God, we pray that you just go all the way with it, God. We just ask you, God, that he would be able to get married on the right day in July, God, and I pray that he could be able to start his future off right. And God, I pray that you guide their steps into what's the next path to take, and we thank you for your faithfulness to him, and I pray that you just go and just heal him completely. He'd be able to eat even today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks, Isaiah. Thanks, Jeff. So I wanted to share that story that life is so fragile. Like, this 25-year-old dude, like, is so healthy. And then all of a sudden, he was completely not healthy, completely not the same. Like, his plans completely changed. He slept through his birthday. Like, it's insane. Like, it just, life seems so fragile from just experiencing that. And I do want to say that not all the time does that happen where they're okay. Like, when we were praying that God is sovereign, sometimes people do die. Sometimes our life can be taken just like that, because we are like a mist or a vapor. We're just here today, gone tomorrow. And like, tomorrow is not promised to us. So I want to have Akiah come and share. Can you just give Akiah a round of applause? Akiah is going to share some really brave things with you guys and be very, very vulnerable with you. So just give her your attention, okay? I'm talking to you like I do with the youth group. I'm sorry.
So some of you know and some of you don't know. About a year and a half ago now, three friends of mine died in a car crash. It was very unexpected. My parents literally saw them playing at the jamball court in town in Woonsocket the night of the crash. They saw them that evening a couple hours before. So I go into my Sunday like a normal Sunday. I'm just going about my business, doing my chores, getting ready for church. And my mom comes in and she's crying. And I have no clue why. And she's like, Akiah, your friends were in a crash. At first, I didn't think I heard her right. And then she's like, Akiah, they're gone. So, and then 13 months later, another friend of mine, actually my neighbor, at the age of 13, died in a side-by-side accident as well. So life is really short, and there's no promises. I have this saying that life's like a flower. It's beautiful, yet it's short. So, like, treasure it.
Kai is so brave. Do you guys remember when that happened in Woonsocket on the corner over here? That's why all those stop signs are down there. Where are we? Down here? Yeah, down there. Those boys were young, too. 14. Is that how old they were? They're really young. Life is so short. I love working with teenagers because they're so full of zeal. They're excited about life. but they're so honest. I mean, they're just such a mixed bag. I've been working with like teenagers for like 18 years, like leading them. And like the Lord always says the most beautiful thing from teenagers. I just love their life. They just have such a great perspective. Just thanks, Akiah, for sharing that. Life is not promised to us. That was your first truth. My second truth for you guys is we are called to do what is right no matter what. We are called to do what is right no matter what. So the rest of that scripture that I was reading in James 4, 13 through 17, I'll read the last two verses there. It says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. I'm going to read it again because it's so like, when I read that, I was like, whoa, like that's crazy. That is sin. So if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and then they don't do it, it is sin for them. What is God calling you to do? What is the good that God has placed you on this earth to bring forth? All of us are so unique. All of us are so different. If God created us all the same, there'd only be need for one of us in this room, okay? Like, it'd be, we need all of us. The Bible's really clear about needing everybody to make up the body of Christ. Not one person is more special than the other, you know? Like, we all are needed to function as a full body. What good is God calling you to do? And you should ask him. Sometimes you'll get some scary answers, like some things that are going to scare you to death. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to make you be a little bit smaller and put somebody else a little bit higher. You're going to have to serve and do things that are a little hard. Your life might be inconvenienced. I know this isn't everybody's calling, but me and Chad, we are called to be foster parents. Like, that is part of our calling, a part of who we are, who God created us to be, is to help orphans in their distress. Like, that's like a scripture in our life. It's like something that's a firm foundation for us. That's who we are. And recently, since we've said yes again to another placement of three children, I've kind of stopped caring what people think, because I know what God says about me, what I'm called to do. And what God says, hey, I need you to take these three little kids that don't have a family that nobody else can take. I need you to do that. I'm going to say yes, because that's who God called me to be. And if God says to do it, I'm going to do it. Even if it's super inconvenient, because it is, okay? Like, it's not, we're not having like the most fun in our whole life. It's kind of hard, I'm not going to lie. But it's worth it. There's a lot of joyous moments. There's a lot of good things happening. But there's a lot of scary things. We're coming into their trauma, their darkness with them. We're inviting that into our home. We're saying yes to not very much sleep. Not very much alone time. Not very much downtime. You can't just lay on the couch and watch YouTube, you know, like, or watch TikTok. We're not in youth group, okay? Sorry, I keep thinking we're in youth group. We talk about TikTok a lot, but. So getting calls in the middle of the night, it's never, crises are never a convenient thing. It's not pretty. It's not like a pretty package. If God's calling you to something new, especially if no one's ever done it before, you're going to be a pioneer. It's going to be difficult. You're going to be trudging. You're going to be paving the way so somebody else, like, you're going through the forest. You're going to be cutting some branches down so that more people can come up behind you and do good as well. You know, like, it's going to be hard. So why do it? Because life is short and eternity is really long. Right? That's why. That's why we do what we do. We're going to have a moment here at the end. So I want you to be processing, like, what good is God calling you to do in this season of your life? I know a lot of us have dreams of things that they want to do with their life. Like, me and Chad, we've always felt like we're called to be missionaries. That just hasn't been the thing that's happening. We're called to be missionaries in Huron in this moment. Like, that's where we're called to be. It's exactly where we're supposed to be. But we're not supposed to do that tomorrow, because that's not where we're supposed to go. right now we're supposed to be in here on ministering to these seven kids and with you guys in youth group. That's where we're supposed to be. This is the right environment for us. But what is God calling me to do in this season? There's a lot of things that we can do in life. Like right now, my son is in China. We've been adopting him for 2 years, like trying to get to him. COVID hit. We've been stuck here. We were supposed to get him last April. It's already April again. We had an anniversary of when we were supposed to get our son. It's a terrible anniversary. I'm not into it. But what could we do? What could we do? Could we sit around and cry, sit in dark places and talk about how terrible it is? Or just take another foster placement and get our minds off of it and do some good while we're waiting, right? What is God calling you to do in this season of waiting, of what you're supposed to do? And normally it's a stepping stone to be even better at what you're called at, to be even better at what you're called to do in the long run. If you want to be a missionary, you aren't just going to wake up one morning when you're in the Philippines and be like, oh, I'm a missionary now. There's some things you need to do to train to be a successful missionary in the Philippines, and you can do that in Huron, South Dakota. All right, my third truth for you guys is living for Jesus is a life worth living. I like to talk about the American dream quite a bit. The more I talk about this like idea of the American dream, there's always like different variations of it, but this is like the typical American dream is you grow up, you go to elementary school, you go to middle school, you go to high school, you graduate, you go to college, right? You go to college, you get a successful career. You're in that career for 40 years, maybe, somewhere in there. That'd be good, right? Successful. That would be successful, especially if you were like a really, like a doctor. Wouldn't that be cool? That would be successful. You know, you're making lots of money. You save, and then you have retirement when you're like 67 or something, 67 and a half. I don't know what it is these days. It always changes. You boomers, I'm never going to retire. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. That was a boomer's joke. Sorry. And then at 67 and a half, you retire, and then you live a few years of healthy years, and then you're in your 80s, and then maybe your health starts deteriorating, and then you die. Woo! You did it! There's some good things in there. Sometimes you can get married and you can buy a house with the picket fence. Like, that'd be pretty cool. Like, that'd be a highlight of your life, right? I mean, that's not like a bad life, right? I wouldn't, you know, they'd be like, oh, you did it. Good job. I'm not going for that. Like, it doesn't appeal to my senses into anything. Anything in me is like, nope. That is not God's dream for my life. That is not who God is designed me on this earth to be, to accomplish on this earth. What are you doing in those moments? What are you doing when you're working for those 40 years? Who are you ministering to? What ministry field is God calling you into? I do think God is calling people, doctors, Christian doctors, to go into that environment and to be a Christian doctor in that environment. I think people are doing that. So don't get me like wrong here. Doctors are amazing. I'm so thankful for them. They help save my buddy's life. Like, I'm so grateful for them. So, like, but, like, what is God calling you to do in those moments? Are we listening to him? Are we asking him, where are you leading me? How can I influence the most people so they don't end up in hell? How can I do it? How can I save? How can I go through life reaching into darkness as I go, pulling people out of darkness into his marvelous light everywhere I go? How can I be the most successful at that? That is success for me. That is the success that the Lord is calling me to. And it looks different for every single human on the planet. Every single person. It's not going to look the same as me. But if you want to be a foster parent, I got you covered. We'll sign you up today. I'm just kidding. We need some more. I want to tell you a story about my beloved father-in-law. This is Chad's father. He was amazing. Like, he was this amazing guy. He was 1 month from retiring. He was 64. He got to retire a little earlier than most. It was great. And he died suddenly on the golf course about 2 years ago, this April. So it's about 2 years after he's died. And I loved my father-in-law. He was amazing. I would say that his life was a success. But he had some plans. Like, he was about ready to retire and go and be a missionary, probably in the Bahamas. And I was always like, you're going to go suffer for Jesus in the Bahamas? But no, we always had this joke going. I'm like, you sure you're suffering, Dad? Yeah. But no, he would like go down to the Bahamas, like, and he, like, the year before he died, he went down several times, and he would like build churches from cinder blocks. I mean, this guy was a hardworking man, and just like that, gone suddenly from our life. He was like the patriarch of our family. Like, his legacy will live on for a long time. This man was so great in my mind, and it wasn't because he had a successful career. Do you know what his job was? He worked for the city as a street sweeper, which is awesome. I think it's a great job. But when you think of like a successful career, like, is that your success? That's not what I measure success as. The reason why I think he was so successful is every day of his life, he tried to live for Jesus better than the last day of his life. This man, he always had a guys group in his life of people that he held accountable to read their Bible, like, all the time, like, constantly. He would always just call you out on things like, hey, you need to read your Bible more, or hey, you need to do this more, or let me come and pray for you. Like, he would just come, and he would just give you a hug and pray for you. He was an elder in his church. He was amazing. He actually went to our sister church at River Center in Pierce, South Dakota. He was from the Ozarks in Missouri. So he always had this weird little thing he used to say. He said, no one thought they would take this Ozarkian hillbilly out of Buffalo County, is like you always say that. Like, no one would take him out of this little place in Missouri, this town of 1,000 people. He lived there his whole life. But when he was in his 50s, he uprooted his life and he moved to South Dakota to be a part of a church. And he was successful. He was an elder in that church. He was so amazing at it. I just loved him so much. He lived a life full of righteousness. Was he perfect? Absolutely not perfect. Like, we know each other's faults. We're family, right? But he lived a successful life for Jesus every single day. He read his Bible every single day of his life. Sometimes he couldn't sleep and just get up and read his Bible. He reminds me a lot of my husband. My husband does that kind of stuff. If you live with a musician, Chad just gets up in the middle of the night and writes worship songs. Like, they're very similar. Like, and we think about, like, it's not too loud. I'm a good sleeper, so it's okay. But we think about just, like, a whole life spent. And you're like, oh, what a waste. He just died, like, 1 month before he retired. And that is sad for me because I wanted him to live on with his beautiful wife and, like, go and be a missionary in the Bahamas. It would have been beautiful. But I think his life was beautiful. I think he was successful. I think about heaven now, and I think about Buddy Hendrickson. I say, heaven's going to be beautiful because my father-in-law's there, because Jesus is there. It's going to be this giant family reunion. We're going to have a really good time. I'm so excited for heaven. There's a scripture in the Bible. It talks about in Revelation 4, and it says, let me just read it to you. It says, around the throne there were 24 thrones, and upon these thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne, who is Jesus, and worship him with whose lives forever and ever. They will cast their crowns before the throne. So in the Bible it talks about how when we get to heaven, like, there will be given gifts, we'll be given treasures for the way we lived our life. And these elders had crowns that they were given in the Bible. You should read your Bible. It'll be very interesting if you read your Bible. I promise you, you will not regret it. So they have crowns on their heads. And in this picture, they earn these crowns, like, with the way they live. And God's standard is not the same as our standard, right? Our version of success, we already established that. So God's version of success is servanthood and giving to God and, like, reading your Bible, things like that. And they would throw their crowns at the feet of Jesus. Like, all of my worth is in you, God. All that I live for is for you. And I think about that, and I think about my father-in-law, who was an elder on this earth, and that's totally what he would do. Like, that's what happened. I guarantee you that's what's happening in heaven. Like, he lived for Jesus, and he had a life well spent. He lived a life for Jesus, and it was worth it. And he's going to have fruit for a long time. Like, our whole family has been impacted by him, first-generation Christian, and now all his kids love Jesus, and all of his grandkids love Jesus. That's success. That's what success is. Yep. I want to watch this video. This video is a little older. It's by Francis Chan. Actually, when we were, like, praying about this day, both me and Autumn felt like we should show this video, so this is really going to be good. And it's about eternity, so let's just watch it. It's going to be good.
Going, man, what am I to look forward to at the end? I'm going to bring an illustration that this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper when it was all stuck together and it had the holes on the side that you had to peel off? Remember that? I remember getting a roll, and some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me. But because that was the best, you know, and it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor, and I put that computer paper all the way around the room, but I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope, okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever, okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. Let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about all this stuff that's just, it's crazy to me, because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb, it doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line, and I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. He goes, I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out, and I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges, and he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it, and I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me, because I'm going to pass that line well.
All right, wasn't that super powerful? I love that illustration. I want us to take some time. We have a little bit of time here. And I just want to call, if you don't know Jesus, if you were to die today, where would you go? Do you have Jesus in your life? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to live for eternity? Are you going to live eternity with Jesus? We're all going to live in eternity. But where are we going to live when we get there? Let's just all close our eyes. Do you want to put some music on, Isaiah, for me? I know I'm walking around a lot. I'll stand in the right spot. Let's just give him our attention right now. I'm just going to pray. And then if you need to know Jesus, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment here. Or if you have an area in your life where you need to say yes to God in, we're going to do that in a moment too. Jesus, we just thank you right now, God, for everyone in this room. We thank you for their hearts, God. We thank you that you created us all uniquely different. You are so good, God. You are so good, God. Each person in this room, you have called them, Lord Jesus. You have called them out of their darkness. And in this moment, I just ask you, Father, that they would come out from their darkness, come out from where they've been living, and just live in your freedom, live in your life, experience in you, Jesus. Live for eternity, Jesus. Live with you in mind, God. We just bless you, God, in this place to come and say, do whatever you want in this room, God. We just give you all of our attention right now. We give you permission, God, to move. And anything that's not of you, just leave right now in the name of Jesus. So I just want to make a call. Everyone's eyes are closed. If you want to know Jesus, if you want to go to heaven and be with God forever, live for eternity with God, I just want you to raise your hand if that's you. Awesome. 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 If you need to get right with God in this moment this morning, I just want to encourage you to run to him now. If that's you, if you need to get right with God today, I just want to encourage you to raise your hand and say, yes, I do. I do. Yeah, awesome. 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 Let's just all stand together. We're going to pray a prayer. Yeah, just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I give you all of my life. I want to live for eternity, Jesus. I want to live for you, Jesus. Living for you is a life worth living. I give my life to you again, God. I give my life to you, Jesus. I devote myself to you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. And for cleansing me of all my sin, so I can be with you forever in eternity. Amen. I encourage you, if you just prayed that prayer and you really mean it, I want you to talk to someone in the room and say, like, hey, that was me. I need to get my life right with God so they can pray with you. But I wanted to give you one more chance here. Let's turn the music down just a little bit more. There you go. I just want to talk one more time. If there is an area in your life that you need to say yes to that you might have been running from, maybe God's calling you to something and you've like put it on a shelf and he's saying, hey, can you go get that off the shelf and say yes to it? It's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. There's going to be so much fruit in heaven from that decision of you saying yes. If that's you in this place and you want to say yes again to something that God's calling you to do, why don't you just raise your hand? We're going to do what we do in youth group. Why don't you whisper to this person next to you and say, do you need to have your hand raised about something? There you go. Yeah. Awesome. Let me just pray for you, okay? Jesus, we just thank you, God, for these yeses, God. We just put it before you, whatever it is that you're saying yes to. God, we just say yes to this thing right now. We say, God, this might be a little scary, but we say yes to it. We trust you, Jesus, that you lead me into good things and to good things for others. Help me, God, to do everything you called me to do and give me the grace to do it well. In Jesus' name. And send people in my life to help me with this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.